Mark and chapter 5. And I want to follow our thought from the Lord's Supper about being thankful for our salvation. This morning I want to be looking at a number of testimonies of salvation out of the Scriptures with a view to giving God all the praise and the glory and the honour for salvation. Amen.
Amen.
And to see that whosoever will can call on the name of the Lord and be saved as well. And so we want to start with this passage here in Mark chapter 5. Verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Father, we thank you for this day again. Father, thank you for thy wonderful salvation. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love, which is infinite, matchless. Thank you for your mercy that is forever. Thank you, Father, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're thankful, Father, that salvation is eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of his hand. Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, my desire, prayer today is that your name would be magnified, that you would be glorified as we look at this matter once again of salvation and how wonderful and how amazing and how great it is. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This man we call the maniac of Gadara. And when you read about his life was a shocker to say the least. He was full of demons. When the Lord Jesus spoke, the demon said, We are legion because they were many. And we read in those opening verses that he'd been dwelling among the tombs in verse 3, and no man could bind him, not with chains. He'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Imagine that. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I mean, what an existence. It just goes to show, this is an extreme case, but what the devil does to people, amen? Just in total bondage. Total bondage. No man could tame him. No man could help him. He's been in chains. He's broken all them. He's running around the mountains crying, cutting himself with stones. I mean, it's a horrific story, that part of it. But it doesn't finish there, amen? He comes to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus deals with the demons. And then the Bible tells us there, verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Oh my, salvation is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Here's this man who was an absolute raving lunatic, full of demons, cutting himself, you name it, he was doing it. And yet now the Lord Jesus delivered him and he's clothed and in his right mind. Oh my, you want to get in your right mind, you've got to get saved, amen? It's not going to happen any other way. But the sad part about this is the people were afraid and they said, Jesus, go away. I find that hard to understand. You'd think they'd be saying, wow, Jesus, this is amazing. Can you do the same for us? No, get out, please. You've just caused us to lose all our pigs. They've all gone in the sea and drowned. We want you to go away. You've just cost us financially. Whatever. And we see what happens there in verse 18. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. You can imagine that. Like the Apostle Paul could say, to depart with Christ and be with Christ, which is far better. It's just, you know, you want to be with the Lord, amen, if you're saved, and walk with the Lord. But howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them, notice what it says, how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Salvation is a great thing that God does. It's a great work that God does. It's not something that you and I do. It's not something you and I can manufacture. It's an amazing work of grace and love and mercy from God. Amen. And you go home and tell them that the Lord has done great things for you and had compassion on you. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? The compassion of God. The Lord Jesus, as you read through the gospel accounts, you find on a number of occasions where he had compassion on people. He saw them in their lost estate. He saw their lives messed up and you know, he had compassion on them and reached out to them. In fact, as we see in Luke 19, and perhaps we can turn there now, Luke 19, the Lord Jesus said there how the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, the Bible says that men aren't seeking for God. It's God who's looking for men. And yet God puts it in their heart that they know there's something missing and they need to be seeking for something or someone. They're not sure too much what it is. But in Luke chapter 19, and we find the Lord Jesus, he meets another man. Totally different man to the man who was out there up in the tombs. But notice verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He's a totally different person, this one. He's a publican, and the publicans in those days were not people who owned pubs. They were people who were tax collectors employed by the Romans and despised by the Jews because of all they did. And he was rich. He'd done quite nicely out of it. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, verse 3, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. He's only a little fella, very wealthy, well known, but he's lost. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Isn't that wonderful? Here's this man. He wants to find out about the Lord Jesus. He wants to learn a little bit more. He wants to at least see him. And the Lord Jesus is mindful of that, and I can just see him as they're going down the street and they get to this sycamore tree, and the Lord Jesus stops and looks up into the tree, says, excuse me, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I want to come and have a meal at your place today. Imagine that. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Like, how could he go there? This man's a sinner. Well, it's whosoever. Sorry, it's whosoever. Doesn't matter whether it's a tax collector. It doesn't matter whether it's a demonic maniac. They're part of the whosoevers, amen? Just to remind ourselves of that, and we go out into the world there. And it's whosoever. It doesn't matter whether it's some old man who's cranky and out of sorts and who's an atheist, or someone lying down in the gutter, it doesn't matter. It's whosoever. It might be a tax collector, but it's whosoever, amen? And notice what the Bible says there. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus got saved there. And you can tell he got saved because there was some fruit. You know, when people get saved, there's a change of life. And obviously, if you're a maniac, the change is quite dramatic. But your life might not be quite as bad like Zacchaeus, but it changed. He said, I'm going to give half what I got to the poor. And by the way, he said, here's what's going to happen. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'm going to give him fourfold. If there's people who I've taxed in a wrong way or whatever I've done, I'm happy to repay them fourfold. There's fruits meet to repentance, amen. This man's repented of his ways, and I know we don't get all the full story in one sense, but we get what we need to know. There's fruit there. This man is now saved and he's willing to get some things right. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, there were some things I had to get right. Wasn't always that easy and all that comfortable. But the grace of God. And so we see this man, Zacchaeus. He was one that the Lord was seeking. And the Lord says, this day salvation come to this house. What a wonderful testimony. You go to Luke 23, one of the famous stories of salvation, I believe, and we probably all know it and could speak about it and everything else, but Luke chapter 23, and notice what we find here in verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Another wonderful testimony of salvation, amen. This man's about to die. Talk about leaving things to the last minute. And yet the grace of God was sufficient, even at this point in his life, to be able to reach out a hand of faith, as it were, and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He's already admitted that he's a sinner. He says, we're getting what we deserve. We've done wrong. Sometimes that's hard to get people to admit to being sinners, isn't it? Well, I'm not a bad person. I'm a pretty good person. I've never killed anybody. And on it goes. No, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this man acknowledges that. And then he says, Lord, he does what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And he said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, he's confessed him as Lord. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, I believe you're going to come back from the dead. You're the Messiah. that you're the one who's going to establish your kingdom on earth. I believe that. I believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said, hey, you're saved. Today you'll be with me in paradise. One of the wonderful things is the simplicity of it. You know, we can get it so complicated and so kind of, you know, whatever, theoretical and academic, rather than just keep it simple, that we're a sinner that Jesus died for on the cross. And if we would repent, turn to God and believe those truths of Christ's death, burial and resurrection, which we've seen this morning through the Lord's Supper, then we'll be saved. It really is that simple. Do we understand it? No. Will we ever understand it? Not this side of glory. But we don't have to, amen? We just have to believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so here's another wonderful testimony of salvation. But what a contrast to the maniac. And what a contrast to Zacchaeus. Here's a crook, here's a thief, here's a man who's dying for his crimes. Yet he got saved. You go to Acts chapter 10, and we see another man here, and totally different to these others we've looked at already. In Acts chapter 10, we won't take time to read the whole passage, but in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Notice this, he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This man, it's as good as you can get, humanly speaking, and yet what? He's as lost as lost. You say, how could a man like that not be saved? He's a devout man. He's one that fears God with all his house. He gives alms, he gives gifts to people. He prays all the time. He was lost. And how many people like that today? We could go around the countryside, around the world today, and we would find, I don't know the percentages, I wouldn't want to be dogmatic, but I would suggest that if you go around all the places that call themselves churches, the minimum unsaved would be about 50%. People who go to church, you can go to them and you ask them, they've got no idea. It's another reason to be thankful that we're saved, amen? Because you can be religious, you can be like this man, you can be a good man, you can be praying all the time, you can be giving gifts to the poor and all of that and still not be saved. Why? Because it's by grace through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works. And to try and get that across to people that it's not of works. Time and time again we get confronted with, yeah, but I've done this, and I don't you have to get baptized to, you don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved, as a testimony that you're saved. And so we find this man, and he's as good as they come, humanly speaking. And if you'd spoken to someone and said, that man one day is going to die and go to hell the way he is at the moment, people would be at you. What? How can you say that? He's a good man. He's a godly man. He's a good religious man. He's everything else. Sorry, he's not saved. He's not saved. That's the problem. The Apostle Paul was in the same category, wasn't he? As far as religion, he's tops. He says, regarding the law, blameless. Pharisee of the Pharisees, that's me. Hebrew of the Hebrews, that's me. Regarding the law, blameless, that's me. But he was lost. Lost is lost. You think about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And it's a wonderful story how the Lord Jesus goes down there by the Jacob's well, and in the middle of the day he meets this lady who's come up there, and he asks her for a drink of water, and she said, well, you know, whatever. And he said, listen, I got water I can give you, you'll never thirst again. And she said, oh, I wouldn't mind some of that. That sounds pretty good. She said, I can give it to you. She said, by the way, you better go and talk to your husband about it. She said, well, yeah, right, okay. I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, I know. He said, you've had five and you're living with someone now. Oh, my. Uh-oh, she's got the idea that he might just know a little bit about her. They discussed the Messiah and the Messiah's coming, and the upshot was she got saved. And she went back to the village and told him, I've met a man who told me all things whatsoever I've done. I've gotten saved now. Oh my, what a testimony. And you think, what a contrast. Was she a maniac Gadara? No. Was she a tax collector? No. Was she a religious person? Well, maybe. Maybe. She was a Samaritan and, you know, they knew you had to worship someone somewhere. Oh my, what a wonderful testimony. Go and tell your husband, and I'm not married. Yeah, I know, you've had five. You're with someone. Oh my. Sounds a little bit like today, doesn't it? You know, here today in our world today. You know, how many you had? Oh, I'm on my third, you know. Yeah, but I'm going to divorce this one. I'm going to get another one. It's all right. It's okay. I found a better one, you know. On and on it goes. Oh, my. You know, we laugh, but it's what's happening out there today. There's nothing new under the sun. We look in Acts chapter 16 and we find a different situation once again. In verse 14, and the Bible says there, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attend unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Here's another good lady. She seems like a bit of a businesswoman. She's a seller of purple in the city there. She worships God. All good. She must be okay. No. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She was lost. The Lord opened her heart, and she believed what Paul preached to them about the gospel of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and she got saved, and then proceeded to get baptized. Not a maniac Gadara, no. Not a thief on the cross, no. Just a good lady, obviously a diligent lady, a well-respected lady, another religious person, but lost. Lost. It's fascinating, isn't it? And I want to just try and keep a little bit of a balance in some of this. You know, you don't have to have the shocking testimony before you can get saved, amen? Have a look in Luke chapter 1. We've been preaching through the book of Luke on Sunday nights, and we've just finished the first chapter the other day, and now we're, Lord willing, starting in chapter 2. But Luke chapter 1, and Mary has received the amazing news that she's going to give birth to a son, that she's a virgin, and this son is going to be a miracle in the sense that the conception is miraculous through the Holy Spirit. No man involved. And so she goes off to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 46. She begins this song of praise. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced. Notice what it says. In God my Saviour. Here's a young lady, a godly young lady, her life has been good, pure, shall we say, but somewhere as a young person she's gotten saved. As a young person, she wouldn't be able to stand up and say, well, you know, I was a maniac Gadara down there. She wouldn't be able to say, you know, I used to be chained up and now I'm set free. She wouldn't be able to say, well, I was up a tree there and God called me down and I got saved. She wouldn't be able to say, well, you know, I've had five husbands and I'm living with a bloke now, but I'm saved. No, she couldn't do any of that. She couldn't say, I'm well known and I give gifts to people and I pray all the time, you know. No, she couldn't do any of that. She couldn't say, look, I was quite a good businesswoman and I used to worship God, but no, just as a young person, she gets saved. And she is rejoicing in God my Saviour. Amen. That's how it ought to be. Bless God for all the maniacs that get saved. But bless God for all the young people that get saved. You have a look in 2 Timothy. Have a look in 2 Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy. That's what he says, 2 Timothy, and first of all, chapter 1 and verse 8, or verse 5, sorry. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And Paul writes this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Here's Timothy, who's had a godly heritage, his grandmother, his mother. And Paul says, "I remember the unfeigned faith." That was what I understand, Timothy, that you're saved. Unfeigned means it's not fake, it's not put on, it's not just religion. He's got real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how did that happen? Go across to chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, and verse 15. Notice what it says, "And that from a child." Amen? "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." What a blessing. You don't have to be a maniac Gadara. You don't have to be some dope head or some pedophile or whatever. No. A young person can get saved and needs to get saved as well. You know, some people, young children, they're too young, they don't understand it. I've never read a verse anywhere that says you must understand it to get saved, amen? None of us would then. But just as a child, be converted and become as a little child. Just believe that, you know, your disobedience to dad and mum and your anger with your brother and sister and your pinching your brother's book or whatever, that's sin. And it needs forgiveness, and only the Lord Jesus can forgive because of his death, burial and resurrection. You see, a child can get saved. Timothy, you've known this from a child. The scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. What a blessing that is, amen. Praise God for every maniac and every... praise God for the young people that get saved. That really is a blessing, I believe. They don't have to carry the baggage. They don't have to carry all the rubbish and the emotions and everything else that comes when you get saved as a maniac. Or up the tree or somewhere else, up the pole, whatever. Oh my. What a blessing. You really need to pray for the young people. They do. They get saved at a young age and by God's grace live for him. Oh my. Wonderful testimony that is to the grace of God, the goodness of God. Well, look at a couple of other fellows. Let's come to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Notice this fellow. A fellow called Felix, he was the governor down in Caesarea. And this is interesting in verse 24, Acts 24, verse 24. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Tragic words. Paul's preached the gospel to him, the faith which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, necessary for salvation. And this man who's in a position of prominence and no doubt wealth and everything else says, "Paul, thanks very much, but some other time." That's sad. Because the Bible says, "Now, if you hear my voice," today, "if you hear my voice, turn not away." Today is the day of salvation. We've got no guarantee of tomorrow. "Boast not yourself tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day brings forth." And yet this man, this prominent man says, oh boy, and notice what it says. He's actually trembling. God's dealing with him. Spirit of God is convicting him and convincing him that he needs to get saved. But he says, "Some other time, Paul. Some other time, please. We'll talk about it again." You've had people like that. It's interesting what you say. Maybe we could talk about it some other time. And that doesn't mean Felix never got saved. I would suggest he probably didn't. But it's not good to put it off. There's another fella here, similar sort of category. Verse 27. After 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We go on into that next chapter, and we find there that there's a man called Agrippa, King Agrippa. He and his wife come down to visit Festus, the new governor. And in verse 13, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. This is chapter 25. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat, commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there judge of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow. And he said, thou shalt hear him. Agrippa said, I'm interested in hearing this fellow, Paul. I'd like to hear what he's got to say. Well, we skip a few verses and we get down to chapter 26. In verse 12, Paul begins to give his testimony of when he got saved and how he got saved. And he goes down through that. And you get down to verse 24. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. You ever had anybody say to you, you're nuts? Do you really believe all this stuff? Yeah. Oh, serious. If you haven't had that, you will. If you start witnessing a few people, you'll hear it. You're mad. Why would you believe that? Why wouldn't you? And so he's not off to a good start, Festus. He's got a few problems. But verse 25, but he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. He said, I'm not crazy, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. So I'm just telling you the truth. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Come on, king, you know what I've said is true. You know about it. You've heard the story before. You know it's true. You know what the prophets said. Come on, you know. And here's the sad verse, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, you've almost convinced me. But he wasn't, was he? Imagine, we don't know whether Agrippa one day got saved, but imagine if he didn't. He stands before the Lord and he gets cast into hell forever. And on his lips, I'm sure, would be almost. 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 Why was I so stupid? Almost. Praise God for the maniacs and the Zacchaeuses and the thieves on the cross. But we need to pray for the Felixes and the Festuses and the Agrippas as well, amen? That God would take the blindfold off their minds. That they might be like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened so that they could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh my. But thank God for his wonderful love and grace and mercy and for his amazing salvation. Amen. Oh my. Whosoever. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's amazing, isn't it? Whosoever. You say I'm a maniac, you can get saved. I'm a good person, you can get saved. I've had a few other problems. You can get saved. It's whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God for his love and his mercy, his grace. And we've looked at a number of testimonies here this morning from the scriptures, haven't we? Testimonies of people who've come to know the Lord. Testimonies of people who've put it off. Testimonies of older people, people close to death, young people. Testimonies of salvation. And I want to ask you this question. Do you have a testimony of salvation? If we took time this morning and got everybody up here one by one, would you be able to give a testimony of salvation? Would you be able to be like the man of Gadara going around the city and saying, listen, I need to tell you something. God has had great compassion on me. I'm saved now. Would you be like the woman at the well and going around, listen, I need to tell you, I found the Messiah. I found the Saviour. Come on, I want you to come and meet him. I want you to come and listen to him. Would that be you and I? Do we have that sort of a testimony? Would be like Mary. Oh, I just rejoice in God my Saviour. Oh, God has been so good to me. God is so good to me. Do you have a testimony of salvation? You say, why do you stress that? Because if you don't, you're on your way to a devil's hell. Because the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's that serious. And for those of us who are saved, I trust that we would just be so thankful for our salvation. And that God would get all the glory and all the praise. But if you're not saved, if you don't have a testimony, then let me encourage you to do something about it today, even this morning. It's not that hard. It requires a bit of humbling. That's true. It requires a bit of acknowledging that, yes, I am a sinner. I acknowledge that. Thank you, Lord, for showing that to me clearly. Before I thought I wasn't too bad, but now I see, yes, I'm a sinner. But I see also that the Bible teaches, and we've seen in the Lord's Supper, that the Lord Jesus died for my sins, not just for the sins of the world, but for my sins as well. And so I also believe what the Bible says now, that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. Many witnesses to that. And God, this morning, I want to be like that maniac Gadara and Zacchaeus and the thief on the cross and Cornelius and Lydia and the jailer and Mary and Timothy and all of them, and them some. I want to have a testimony of salvation. Lord, please forgive me and save me. If that's your desire this morning, then let me encourage you to do that just as we bow now before the Lord. And thank him for what he's done. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we do bow just to praise you and bless you and thank you once again. The great things you've done, the salvation which you have provided at the cost of your only begotten Son, suffering, bleeding, dying in our place so that we might go free. Father, we've looked at some of the testimonies in your word this morning and how wonderful they are. How wonderful, Lord, to see the whosoevers. Lord, we're thankful that it's not just the good people, as we would term it. Lord, good people are lost as well. We see that in the scriptures this morning. But we see also that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, you know this morning our hearts, and that's what's important. Lord, I'd like to think, Lord, that every one of us, if we had the opportunity this morning, we took the time, could stand up and give a testimony. Maybe not a maniac, maybe just saved as a young person, or whatever it is, but have a testimony of salvation. But Lord, given this day, Lord, it's quite possible that maybe someone or someone's here this morning could not give a clear testimony of salvation. Lord, I do pray for those folk, Lord, if there's some like that this morning. Lord, that you would speak to their hearts as only you can. You would show them their need of the Saviour. Show them that without Christ, they're heading for a devil's hell. Show them, Father, that if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you would save them even this day. Believe that he died for them and raised from the dead, you would save them. Lord, if there's someone like that, I pray that you would do that work which you alone can do. And just while our eyes are closed and our heads bowed, I wonder this morning, do you have a testimony of salvation? Do you have a testimony of salvation? Do you know for sure that if you die now, you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? Mina ugikogilia. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ? Could you get up and give a testimony? If not, let me encourage you to deal with it. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to trust Christ this morning. I want to settle this matter of salvation once for all. Could you pray for me, please? I just slipped my hand up. I understand I'm not going to join the church by doing that or anything else. It's just a matter of salvation. I want to be sure that I'm saved. When I die, I go to heaven. Please pray for me. Is anybody like that? You just slip your hand up. Again, you don't have to say anything. It's just a matter of acknowledging that, yeah, I want to trust Christ this morning and I'd like you to pray for me. Is there anybody like that? Think about it. Do you have a testimony of salvation? Do you know for sure if you'd die now, you'd go to heaven? Because if you don't, that means you need salvation. Father, we do praise you again and bless you for all you've done. And Lord, may our hearts be uplifted in praise and thanksgiving under thy great salvation. And we give you praise in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn it